Yesterday was a nice reminder, a humbling reminder, that while a lot of us think that we know a lot of things, myself included, we really don't know much about what goes on behind closed doors in Ashburn. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show. Dent Day sitting in for Kevin here on a Thursday. Booger McFarland, ESPN, is going to be with us in about 15 minutes. Get his thoughts on the Commanders, plus a little bit of college football coming up this weekend as well, that we will get his thoughts on. I was listening to both press conferences that took place yesterday. You had Dan Quinn and Adam Peters, and then Terry McLaurin after practice. You will hear a significant amount of both of those throughout the course of today's show. Dan Quinn will speak at noon. You'll hear that as well. But I was listening to these press conferences. There was a whole lot that was going on that we had no knowledge of. It felt like now more than ever through this entire process, especially towards the end of the process, we were starting to get more and more information that felt like we kind of understood the direction that the sides were going. And look, I knew ultimately a deal was going to get done in some way, shape, or form. I think most of you probably felt the same way. A deal with Terry and the Commanders was going to get done in some way, shape, or form. But it really felt like that Adam Peters was in control of this entire thing, Max. And as much as we kind of ragged on Terry's agent, Buddy Baker, maybe he was not out of his depth as much as we thought he was out of his depth. This is just the process that seems to take place when you are negotiating a big contract with a big-time player. Now, maybe there was some lying yesterday. In fact, I would go so far as to say there was definitely a little bit of stretching of the truth in some capacity, particularly with something Terry said about his ankle, which you will hear. That might have been one of my favorite moments of the press conference.
I laughed out loud when Ben asked that question.
I mean, shout out to Ben Standing. It was a great question. You know what? Why, I'm not going to bury the lead. I'm going to be a great journalist here, Max. People call me a journalist. I'm not a journalist, but I'm going to be a great journalist here. Ben asked Terry McLaurin about his ankle situation as Terry is in his ramp up to get ready for the season. Listen to what Terry said about the ankle injury that has been keeping him on the physically unable to perform list for this entire offseason.
I'll just keep that between me and the front office and the training staff. But I will say, like, they did a great job of taking care of me, making sure I was right, you know, being back on this field with this ramp up process. And, you know, I'm just going to continue to build from there, and just happy to be back on the grass. So it was a great ramp-up process for me to be back out here. I feel great when I'm running out there. And so the strength staff, the training staff, and, you know, DQ and everybody was supportive of me and allowed me to get back, you know, to this level where I'm able to hit the ground running. That's what it's all about.
There's a great order that he put these things in.
I mean, look, man, I've never had an $87 million Band-Aid, but I bet there's not a lot of injuries that I could sustain where that wouldn't heal me. Yeah. So I get where he's coming from, man. Most of the Band-Aids that I buy are like $4, and you get 20 for $4. Or now in this economy, it's like $7, and you get 20 or 50. An $87 million Band-Aid that could potentially be worth $96 million over the course of 3 years would definitely make that ankle feeling real good. The ligaments would be great. They'd be loose. They'd
best
be able to flex.
Felt.
I'd be able to run really fast. I promise you that. I like that he was at least, he didn't hide it. He tried to like kind of step it, dodge it. He should have just said he rolled it doing something. You know, the thing in this entire process that I think Terry really could have taken a little bit more advantage of, he was actually here at one point. You know, during the offseason, I know he skipped the mandatory stuff and he skipped some of the non-mandatory stuff, but only some of the non-mandatory stuff. Like, there very much was a part, and the team posted a picture of it all the way back in, like, I don't know if it was March or April or something, but he was catching passes from Jayden Daniels. I remember there was this big smile on his face. I think he had like a bucket hat on or something. So like, he very much was here. I would have leaned a little bit more into that to be like, you know, I was just aggravated at doing some stuff. You know, hey, one of the reasons I wasn't here for the mandatory stuff was because I actually, you know, did have the ankle situation. Like, I would have really pressed hard instead of the, I'm going to keep that between me and the front office. As in, like, no, you were actually on the physically unable to perform list. They did say that you had some sort of injury. So I think Terry should have done just a little bit of a better job there. He was honest, though. You know, in most other cases, and He did mention something about the trade request, which was unprompted. You know, he got asked a lot of questions. Nobody specifically asked him about the trade request, but he did mention the trade request. So this is Terry. He was asked about something different, and then it led to him speaking of the trade request and kind of how that came to be and how it was real.
I think it's clip six. I'm not 100%
sure.
Yeah,
I think it's clip six. So give me clip six.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, when you get to a point where you're here for a little over, I kind of lost track of the days, but you're here for a little while, you're not out on the practice field, and, you know, things may not progress what you would like for them to progress. And, again, like, I don't think there's – everybody's situation is unique and different. So I never tried to look at this person's situation as like, this is how I handle it. I just tried to stay true to myself, but also have the open conversations that were afforded to me, both with my agent Buddy. Buddy was having great conversations with Adam. Adam had gave me the opportunity to have multiple conversations with him, DQ as well. So it was just a matter of getting on the same page. I appreciate them hearing me out and being able to express what my worth is and what I bring to this to the table, on the field and off the field as a teammate and all those things. And in the end, they feel the exact same way. And so to be in a position where you feel like you can advocate for yourself, be educated throughout this process, was something that I took day by day to try to help get to this result. So there was definitely some unknowns. Obviously, the trade request was, something that I did. And, full transparency, I told the front office this as well. Like, that wasn't something that I was doing for just like a leverage point or just to do it or let me call some hoopla. Like, I try to be as intentional as possible. Am I perfect? No, I'm not. Are there some things that you think about that you maybe want to handle different or do better? Sure, that's any situation. But the most important part is the communication that was very important throughout this process from start to finish. The way it ended was better than it started. So that's what it's all about. And there's a deal in place now that keeps me here that I'm extremely happy about. The front office and the coaching staff is extremely happy about. My teammates are happy about. This fan base is happy about. So that's a win-win when you look at a deal, to be honest. So everybody wins, in my opinion. And, I'm just really looking forward to building – continue to build my career here and hopefully leave a lasting legacy as a player, but as a teammate, as a person, and have a chance to win championships and just continue to pour into this community and this fan base, because I do love this place with all my heart. But there's also a business component, and I can never lose sight of that. There was a lot of things that also allowed me to keep perspective. And like I said, my teammates were great with that. My wife, my family, my friends. So you got to try to keep perspective in some of these tough situations. And there were some times where I was like, I don't know. You know what I mean? But I was never going to jump to one extreme to the other. It wasn't like, oh, I'm gonna be here or I'm not. Like, I just really prayed every single day that the Lord ordained my steps and continue to speak to me, and I knew I would end up where I was supposed to be. So I'm definitely here, and I'm happy about it.
That was the only time in the entire press availability that the trade request was mentioned, and it was Terry mentioning it himself. And he kind of said, like, hey, that was real. That was not just a leverage point like a majority of us thought it was. I still kind of do think it was a leverage point. I don't think that Terry ever believed he was going to get traded. I don't think his agent ever believed that he was going to get traded, and I don't believe that Adam Peters had any intention of ever trading or shopping Terry in any capacity. But he said that very much was real. But that was the only time it was referred to at all during that press availability. His answers are very, very long, as you heard. I mean, that was like a 3-minute answer. So he was very open and transparent with a lot of these things. The general focus, though, Max, was that Terry very much wants to be here. And the general focus from listening to Adam Peters is that they very much wanted Terry to be here. There are not a lot of players on the Commanders football team, Redskins, over the past 20 years that have ever gotten a third contract here. And when I say a third contract, I mean like a real legitimate third contract. There have been some guys, I think Tress Way is on contract number 4, but with all due respect to Tress, he's fantastic at what he does. It's very different negotiating with a punter than it is negotiating with a wide receiver number 1 or someone that is that in the top 10 at their particular position in any capacity, right? Trez has been there certainly for a number of years, but it's just a very different process to negotiate with a guy like Terry versus a guy like Trez. There just have not been a lot of third contracts. Like even Ryan Kerrigan, who was here for what felt like an eternity, he never got a third contract here. He played the rookie deal out, which was about 4 years, and then he signed a five-year extension that took him to 2020, and then he did that weird little bit where he played for the Eagles for a season. Remember that? We don't talk about that one a lot. But Ryan Kerrigan, who felt like he was here for forever, never got a third contract here. You know, Trent Williams, I need to look this up to see what Trent's actual extension points were here in Washington, because it feels like with Trent in San Francisco, he's gotten 1,000 contracts just because they constantly repay him, it feels like, every single other year. But if you look at Trent in Washington, you know, he didn't sign a third. He played that rookie deal. He played that rookie extension, which, again, was a five-year contract. He never got a third contract here. So Terry is the first guy that is really at the top of his position, in a position that is incredibly pertinent with some of these deals, that has gotten a third contract. And that's largely, it felt like when, this is like a little bit of a history here, it felt like when Michael Thomas in New Orleans signed that massive contract all those years ago, NFL teams across the board, because I think Michael Thomas signed like a five-year, six-year extension when he had just had that crazy season in New Orleans. When that extension was signed, a majority of teams across the NFL and a majority of players were like, we're not going to jump into five-year deals when we can get three-year deals and then re-up. And Terry was a very, obviously, he's kind of like the poster child for that here. He signed a three-year deal in the Ron Rivera era, understanding that eventually he'd be able to get to re-up. And he kind of played it perfectly. Like, this is a really good deal for Terry. Did he get the $35 million that he allegedly was asking for at the beginning? No, but he got everything that he wanted, or at least everything he said that he wanted. It's just a very unique position to be in, because third contracts in the NFL really are not as frequent as it sometimes seems, especially here. I just found that to be really, really interesting, and I'm curious as to how that might have impacted the process. And what I need to do, Max, is kind of look back at the 49ers and see how many third contracts that they negotiated, and some of the other places that Adam Peters stopped in. There's just not a lot of big third contracts that are being negotiated across the NFL. But the simple fact is, Terry is here, and he is here for a very, very long time. In about an hour, I'm going to tell you exactly how much money he could be making in the year 2025. It'll actually blow your mind. But coming up next, we're going to ESPN. Booger McFarland of ESPN, he's going to jump on with us, get his thoughts on the Commanders and a little bit of college football. Week one starts today in the world of college football. Booger McFarland next. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show with Dent Day sitting in. It is the Kevin Sheehan Show. Dent Day sitting in for Kevin here on the Team 980. The Terry contract is official. It is on to New York for Washington. Joining us to help preview this season for the Commanders and a little bit of college football. We got some college football starting today. Booger McFarland, ESPN, with us here on the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day sitting in. Boog, first and foremost, man, appreciate you jumping on and making some time for us. Your reaction on Monday when the Terry McLaurin contract was official and he was staying in Washington?
Well, I think it was just like everybody else, man. It's kind of about time. I think that with all the good juju that's been going on with Washington since the new ownership, and, you know, Dan Snyder's out of the way and Jaden Daniels had a tremendous season, everything's been positive. And this is kind of the one negative little something that popped up. And I think everybody kind of figured it would be taken care of, but the longer it drug out, you didn't know. And I get it. I understand both sides, receiver, 30 years old, blah, blah, blah. But I think that's where you have to use, kind of get away from those formulas and use some human nature, you know, and just say, okay, look at what Terry has kind of meant to this franchise. Look at what he's done. Look at what he meant to Jaden Daniels. Look at his leadership qualities. And, like, when you add all those things in, I think he got what he deserved. And, you know, now he's got to go out and produce to that level, which I don't have any doubt that he will. But long answer, long way of saying, man, I think everybody around the league is happy about this deal. And I think it's been received very well.
Do you believe that Terry is a top 10 receiver in this league?
I don't. I think the numbers say it. I think when you look at how he plays, yeah, absolutely. Like, he may not be one to four, but there's no doubt you're going to put him somewhere between 4 and 10, depending on your flavor, what you like. No doubt about it.
So with that said, then, you get Terry obviously coming to play with Jaden. They bring in Deebo Samuel. What do you think this offense can look like after a successful year last year with these two guys?
Well, that's going to depend on how they run the football. Like, if you just understand what Dan Quinn wants to do and how they want to play, we make a lot about Jaden Daniels, and rightfully so. But he can't do it all. Like, right. I don't think you want to get into a situation where this quarterback is throwing it 35 times and then running it 20. So where do you find the touches to go elsewhere? I understand everybody likes the young backs that you guys got up there. You trade away Brian Robinson because maybe he doesn't fit the scheme. He's more of a pounder than he is kind of a slasher, which is what this offense needs. I think Deebo coming over is going to be able to take some touches. He's going to be an extension of the run game. You know, jet sweeps, quick screens. You just want to get the ball in Deebo's hands in the perimeter in space. He can make people miss. He's a tough tackle. Ultimately, this team, I think, though, is going to come down to how they play defense. Who's going to rush the passer? Can you stop the run consistently? And when you get a lead, again, can you go get the quarterback? I think health is going to be very paramount on this team because you can't get Terry hurt. You know, you can't get, you know, some of your top guys on the defensive side of the football hurt because I don't think the depth is there just yet. But overall, I think if health was standing, I think people expect the team to be better. Now, that doesn't mean that the record is going to be better,
right?
But I do think people expect the team to be better.
Booger McFarland, ESPN, with us here on the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day sitting in for Kevin on the Team 980. So you mentioned the defense needing to be better. The run defense was obviously a huge, huge Achilles heel for this team last year. How easy is it to go from a bad run defense one year to a good run defense the next year?
It's all mindset, man. That's what it is. Like once you understand, like playing run defense is simple math. Okay, if they have seven guys to block, we need eight guys in the run fit. Seven to take on the blockers, one to make the tackle. Just, you know, if we just keep it on the surface. The scheme is good. Dan is a great defensive coach. I know the scheme is good. I know everything like that. But now it comes down to mindset, man. Like football, I know we've made football soft with all these new rules and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, man, you got to hit people in the mouth. You got to be willing to be physical. And I think understanding what DQ is all about, I think now it comes down to this system, how do you play it, and do you have guys that are tough enough? And I have no doubt, based on what we saw last year, now you go into the offseason, you figure it out, you change personnel a little bit, I think they're going to be better.
How good do you think a guy like Javon Kinlaw can be, being that guy that's big, that's tough, and will hit you in the mouth?
He's big, he's athletic. I still don't think he's been unlocked yet. You know, coming out of South Carolina, man, like he is a man-child. Sometimes you need a new system. Sometimes you need somebody in the ear to just to kind of bring the best out of you, man. Like I've been traded. I've left one team and went to another. I do think that can help, a different atmosphere. I think the positive momentum, man, and this is the thing that beyond everything else, I think Washington has going for it. I think inside that locker room, Dan is one of the best culture builders in football. And what does that mean? Because we throw that around often. What is culture? Culture is like, what's the mood, the vibe when you walk in the locker room, when the coaches are not around? Is everybody talking ball? Are we feeling ball? Are the guys getting along? Do we understand what we're trying to do? Coaches don't have to do a whole lot. They just have to tell us what to do and we get it done. Like, there is a togetherness and brotherhood, and I think they have that in Washington, and I think that's the best thing. So last year gave them a little taste of what it could be. I do think some of the personnel moves that they've made are going to help them. But all that being said, you know, when toe meets leather, man, in about 9 days,
yeah.
I think Washington is going to score plenty of points. It's going to come down to me, when quarterback drops back on the opposing team, can you go get them? You got to be able to affect the other quarterback to win in this league. And because at some point, it's going to turn into a passing game. It's a passing league. And I think their ability to affect the opposing quarterback, whether that's sacks or pressure, will ultimately dictate the record. Jaden Daniels will be outstanding. I think he'll be great. His poise, his patience, his maturity, I've seen it since LSU. It hasn't changed. It's only gotten better. I have no doubt it's going to be better this year. But he can't score and then stop people. So I think the defense is going to be the biggest factor in determining where this team goes. Because a lot of people are thinking Super Bowl.
Right.
I'm not there yet until I see where this defense is at.
Bobby Wagner is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. When you watch him, what jumps out on the screen?
You know, we often talk about quarterbacks and how they see the field and how those guys understand the game and how the game slows down. You can say the same for a middle linebacker. Like he is at middle linebacker what some of the great quarterbacks have been. Maybe not in the standpoint of scoring touchdowns and all that, but when you think about how Peyton Manning quarterbacked our offense in Indianapolis, when you think about what Tom Brady did in New England orchestrating things, like that's what Bobby does. And we don't give him the credit. That's our fault because defense is kind of second fiddle in our mind. Everybody wants to score points. But he is as good as there have ever been at the middle linebacker position. He is he's smart. He's athletic. What he's lost maybe as far as the athletic ability, he makes up for and understanding. He's been durable. He's played a long time. And I think the thing when I talked about the culture earlier, he's a culture builder. Like he understands what culture is about. He understands what winning is about. He's won a Super Bowl before. Like he's been on great defenses. He knows what it looks like. And when you have a young team, and by and large, everybody in the NFL has a young team because the league is younger, mm-hmm. you need that veteran or two on your team. And I'm glad DQ has Bobby because it's a lot of young guys on that team, a lot of guys 22 to 26 on that team, and they think they know it all, and I promise you they don't. You need a veteran that's 32, 33, 34 that's been in the wars that can tell the 25-year-old, hey, guy, I know you think you're made it, but we ain't done nothing yet. And that makes far more of an impact coming from Bobby than it would coming from any coach on the staff.
Talking with Booger McFarland, ESPN. Boog, just a few more for you here as we get set for week one and a little bit of college football as well I want your take on. But you mentioned guys like Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and some of their competitiveness and kind of the way they handle things at the line of scrimmage. Do you see little inklings of those sorts of things in Jaden Daniels?
Well, it's early, man. Like his poise, like the one thing people continue to talk about him, like he doesn't get flustered. Like, that's what the great ones have. Like, if you look at Cam Ward this year, the one thing we said when we were at the draft and myself and Mel and Lewis were talking, like, his poise, he doesn't get sped up. And that's the hardest thing for a young quarterback to kind of grasp on is just to be patient. And Jaden has that. He had it at LSU. And I think you can attribute that to all the football he's played. He's played a ton of ball. And he's made a ton of starts. He's seen a lot. Like, he's been in Death Valley when Alabama came in there, like he's beaten them. Like he's been in the most hostile environments that football has to offer, and he hasn't blinked. And I think that's prepared him to where he is now. Like there's no stadium he's going to walk in that's going to be like it was in Baton Rouge on a Saturday night when Alabama was on the other side. I'm sorry, NFL, there's no atmosphere that's going to be like that because the college game is just a little bit different from the crowd standpoint. NFL is more of a corporate crowd, unless you're in Green Bay or Kansas City. But to my point, he has been in environments that are way hotter than what he sees every Sunday. And so there's no doubt his poise is off the charts, and I think you're going to continue to see that and see how patient he is and just see how, you know, we often say the game slows down. What does that mean? That means that the quarterback sees things so much faster. Obviously, the game doesn't slow down. He just sees things faster because his mind is processing it faster. And then you can attribute that to some of the things or some of the players that you mentioned because that's how Manning was. That's how Brady was. And those guys had to do it because they were slower than molasses. He doesn't have to do it because he's a great athlete. So now you got the best of both worlds.
I mean, Burrow has that same thing. Is it something in the water at LSU that has these guys ready to play and kind of process at an NFL level as soon as they jump into the league?
I just think they played a lot of football, man. Burrow transferred from Ohio State. Jaden from Arizona State. They played a lot of football. Like, they've been around. They've seen a lot. Experience is the best teacher in life, guys. I don't know if you've heard that before, but it is. You can go in any classroom in America. The only thing that's really going to help you with this thing called life and football is to practice and to experience it and to keep living it. And both of those guys that you mentioned have done that.
A few college football questions here for you, Boog. I texted Jacob Hester about this when I saw this, but I'd like to get your take. How big of a deal is it that Garrett Nussmeier is wearing 18?
Well, it's a huge deal personally for him because, you know, 18 is a leadership award. It's a situation or it's an achievement that a lot of people want. It just lets you know how your peers on that team feel about you, how the coaching staff feels about you. And it's one of those things that you would be put in a select group forever. And so it's a huge deal when the guy that touches the ball every single play is viewed as the leader of the team.
Who do you like this weekend between Clemson and LSU?
Well, of course, you know who I like. That's not even a question. I think the game comes down to LSU's ability to play defense at a high level, which we haven't always done. And then on the other side of the football, how does the LSU offensive line deal with maybe the best defensive line in America? I think those two factors determine the game.
So I was informed of this. I'll get you out of here on this, Boog. I was informed of this prior to having you on, that you have to now eat 12 donuts because of a bet that you made with Big Cat at Barstool. Do you have a game plan for how you're going to eat 12 donuts in one sitting? Does it have to be a certain amount of donuts? Can you fill us in on any details there?
Well, it just depends. If they're Krispy Kreme donuts, that's easy. I could eat two dozen. That's not a problem. It just depends on what kind of donuts they are. I'm not a big topping. I don't need Boston cream fill. I don't need a bunch. I just need plain glazed donuts. Plain glazed donuts is not going to be an issue at all.
Well, Boog, appreciate the time, my friend. Hope to do this again soon.
All good, man. Anytime.
That is Booger McFarland at ESPN. Some really good stuff in there from Boog, specifically about the run defense. And, you know, Max, in listening to Adam Peters speak yesterday, he made a comment about how this roster on paper is better than it was in 2024. And by and large, every coach, every general manager, except for maybe the guys that run the New Orleans Saints this year, they're all going to tell you, hey, we're a little bit better than we were on paper last year in some capacity. But for Washington, I do feel like it's different because you now are competing for a championship. And it's the first time in a long time where you have a good opportunity to not just get to the playoffs, but make a deep run for a championship. And that's largely based because of Jaden Daniels. But the run defense was a massive, massive issue for this team last year. And how they can improve that run defense, I don't get worried a lot about stuff in the preseason, but it was very apparent that in the preseason, based off of what they were doing, and they didn't play a lot of their number ones, but they did play guys that are going to get, you know, significant snaps. Johnny Newton's a good example of this. You know, Javon Kinlaw played a little bit. Duran, you saw some guys that are going to get significant snaps, and there still was an issue when it came to stopping the run. I'm really hoping that Javon Kinlaw, whatever Adam Peters sees in him, on the field, on the grass has become like the motto for this team this offseason. Cliff Kingsbury must say that in the building all of the time because everybody says on the grass. Whatever Adam Peters is thinking that he's going to get from Javon Kinlaw on the grass, it needs to happen. This team cannot get to the place where we all want them to get to if their run defense is still piss poor. Now, Javon Kinlaw has had a really good training camp. If you have seen him, if you've been out there at training camp, I'm sure you have seen him. I've gotten the opportunity to stand on the field when Javon Kinlaw is on the field and coming off the field. He is massive. He's probably the largest human being or one of the largest human beings that I've ever seen in person. He's literally like Goliath when he's walking on the field. But you need to play well during the actual games. No one has won a game in the history of the NFL just by looking the part. You got to actually get out there and bust somebody's ass, as Booger McFarland said, hit somebody in the mouth. It is very much mental when it comes to the defensive line and stopping the run. And I really hope that this offseason they have honed in on the mental element of it. So when we get the ones out there for real in games that matter, when they're actually running real defense and when they're going up against teams that are running some sort of real offense, a lot of the stuff that we saw in the preseason, whether it was New England, Cincinnati, or Baltimore towards the end, it was pretty basic run concepts. You know, no one is showcasing too much of their hand in the preseason, you know, maybe in the joint practices or joint practice singular, because they did not get one with Baltimore. Maybe in the joint practice with New England, you saw a little bit more complexities that will get you ready to go up against an actual running attack. But defensively, you have to stop the run. You're going to play too many good running backs this year. And theoretically, if you get to the postseason, or theoretically, when you get to the postseason, you're going to see a bunch of teams with really good running backs. And if you make the offenses and the quarterbacks' life easier because they can run the football on you, you're going to be put in a tough spot. We saw that last year. I mean, Saquon Barkley, NFC Championship game, first carry, 60-yard touchdown. And you're just like, this is going to suck. This is not going to be fun for the rest of it. Washington had its opportunity, certainly, but this is not going to be fun for the rest of the way if they cannot stop Saquon Barkley. And then Philadelphia ended up putting 55 points up. Part of that is because Washington turned the ball over like crazy, and they just were giving them short field after short field after short field, which the only thing worse than a bad run defense is a bad run defense on a short field. And that's kind of what the NFC Championship game ended up looking like. But this is where I'm going to throw the question out to you. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Adam Peters says that this team is better on paper in 2025 than 2024. Have they closed the gap with Philadelphia? We now see the 53-man roster. We know who's going to be a part of this team. Has Washington closed the gap with Philadelphia? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. We take your phone calls next. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show with Dende sitting in for Kevin on the Team 980. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980. We're also streaming on YouTube. You can see I trim my beard for this. So everybody go watch me on YouTube. Dente sitting in for Kevin. We just had Booger McFarland on. It was a great conversation. You can catch it if you missed it on the YouTube, or you can go and get it on the podcast when it's available, wherever it is that you get your podcast. Rate and review us on Apple and Spotify. It's incredibly helpful. Thank you in advance. So Booger McFarland was talking about the defense, how the defense needs to get better. Yesterday, Adam Peters was at the podium for the first time since the beginning of the offseason, the beginning of training camp. He usually does this. Most GMs do after the final 53. Now, there's a lot of questions about Terry McLaurin, but there were some questions about the final 53 and what this roster looks like as the focus now turns from training camp and Terry and all these things to the Giants in week one, and then ultimately pursuing the goal of playing at least one more game than the team played last year and getting to the Super Bowl, a place this team hasn't been in what is approaching, you know, 35, 40 years now. So here's what Adam Peters said that I found to be really interesting, not stunning, but interesting about the overall way that he views this roster in 2025.
The depth, I think the depth is better, you know, up front on both sides, and just bringing in some guys who are really complimentary through free agency, through the draft, that really fit in what we're doing. So just the identity of the team overall without having to single out anybody, just the overall identity and competitiveness that every player has on this team and really kind of fits in what we're looking for.
So that's Adam Peters on the roster and the identity of the roster as we head into 2025. He also said yesterday that he feels like on paper, this roster is a lot better in 2025 than it is in 2024. And on the surface, I would agree with that, particularly on offense. When you add a guy like Laremy Tunsil, your offensive line does not get worse. When you add a guy like Deebo Samuel, your receiving group does not get worse. Because whatever you feel about Deebo, who has become a little bit of a polarizing figure across the NFL in the past couple of years. It feels like there are some people that think he's completely and utterly washed, and there's some people that think he's like the best thing since sliced bread. I am kind of in the middle, but I think Deebo is a massive upgrade at wide receiver two from even a guy like Noah Brown, but from anybody else that was on the roster last year, Deebo is a massive upgrade. And if he stays healthy, this offense has another gear that it can get to that it could not get to in 2024. And I say that knowing that 2024 was one of the better offenses across the entire NFL. So on that side of the ball, certainly the offense has gotten better. They move on from Brian Robinson, but they move on from Brian Robinson because there's clearly some guys in that running back room that they really like. And on top of that, I just think they were kind of done with Brian Robinson, and what they wanted out of their running game was not something he provided. The biggest question is on the defense, and that's really where all of this is going to lie. So when we take your phone calls here in a couple of minutes at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980, and I ask you, have they closed the gap with Philadelphia? Philadelphia, not just in the division, but Philadelphia in the conference. If you want to get to the place where you're playing one more game than you did in 2024, you know that you are going to have to go through Philadelphia in some way, shape, or form. Have they closed the gap with Philadelphia? That entirely relies on either Javon Kinlaw or Johnny Newton taking a massive step forward, or Deron Payne just being better. You know, Deron Payne statistically has not been anywhere near the player that earned the contract, because that contract year was a crazy year. He was awesome that year. He has not been that player since he got his contract. Can he get better when it comes to filling gaps, beating double teams if double teams come, and just stopping the run, stopping 7-yard runs? Even if you take a 7-yard run and make it a 3-yard run, it makes it a lot easier on your defense. Everybody needs to get better. I think the depth in the defensive backfield has improved tenfold. If you look at where this team was this time last year, going into the season with Benjamin St. Juste, Emmanuel Forbes, Michael Davis, and a then unproven rookie, Mikey Sanders, still as their corners, to now a healthy Marshon Lattimore, Trey Amos, who is really, really good and they really, really like, Mikey Sanders still, who we now know what Mikey Sanders still is as a player, which is a really, really good player who could potentially make the jump to be a great player. Jonathan Jones and Noah I, that defensive backfield is significantly better. And Quan Martin has two functioning shoulders, which he did not have at the end of last year. That position group got better. It is the defensive line, though, that's going to hold this team back or propel them forward to get to the position they want to get to. So I ask you, has Washington closed the gap with Philadelphia in 2025? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's start with Bay in D.C. Bay, you're on the Team 980. What's going on?
What's going on, Denton, man? Thanks for taking my call, man. I think on paper, we look great. I think playing against Philly, we got to be mental, man. We couldn't stop the run, and when we couldn't stop the run, everything got out of control, man. So, and then those fumbles, man, that really hurt us too. So I think it's more mental than anything with us, and we just got to be more focused, and we got to be prepared to, like Booger said, punch them in the mouth off the break.
I agree with you, but I think it's a great call. There needs to be a ferocity on the defense and on the defensive line to where you expect to win, and then you go out there and win matchups. And you understand with Philadelphia, they're going to punch you in the mouth, and you got to be ready for that and then punch them right back in the mouth. Even with teams like New York and Dallas, just inside the division, I mean, the New York game, that second New York game, this running back that most of us had never heard of had over 100 yards in the first quarter. And I remember I'm doing the Burgundy Gold Game Day Live with Linnell. And as you can imagine, Linnell's very animated. I look over at Linnell during one of our commercials. We kind of planned it to where our commercial was on when the game was going on. And I look over at him and I'm just like, dude, what is happening right now? And there are some expletives that were shared between the two of us that I can't say on air. But we are not thrilled with what we are seeing from the run defense. You can't have that happen. You can't. You have to be able to stop the run, or not even stop it. Like, I don't think you're going to all of a sudden become like the 2013 Seahawks or like the Jacksonville Jaguars, Denver Broncos, like all of these great teams that we have seen play the run. I don't even expect you to do that. I don't think there's a world where Washington is going to hold teams to like 60 yards on the ground per game. But you just got to make sure you're not allowing 120 yards. Like, you got to split the difference. We spent this entire offseason talking about negotiations, right, between Terry and the team. And the team started on one part, on one side of the negotiation. Terry's team started on the other, and they had to split the difference to come together. Well, defensively in the run game, you got to split the difference. If you were allowing 100 and whatever yards last year, you got to come a lot closer to 60. You're not going to get there fully to 60, but you got to come a lot closer. I can't be watching Saquon Barkley hit homers against this team. I mean, he had like 7 touchdowns in 3 games last year against this team. Bijan Robinson, who's a great player, he was torching this team. The Lions, for whatever reason, Ben Johnson, Wonder Kid over here, decided to stop giving the ball to Jahmyr Gibbs in that divisional game. I thank God that he decided to do that, and I like that the fact that he threw it with Jameson Williams. Like, thank you, Ben Johnson, for that. I really appreciate that. But you cannot allow the stupidity of the offensive coordinator on the other side to save you. You got to go save yourself, and you save yourself by punching some people in the mouth and holding 7-yard gains to 3-yard gains to 2-yard gains, not allowing home runs. Just, I don't want to see a 60-yard run against this defense at all. Never. Please. Can I subscribe to that package? I don't want to see anybody break one against them. So the guys that they brought in, your Javon Kinlaws in particular, if they're going to pay Javon Kinlaw the money that they did, and seemingly, like, flippantly, nobody else was going to give him $15 million per year. If you're going to give him $15 million per year, he damn sure better be worth the $15 million per year. And don't come at me with semantics, well, it's really a 2-year deal then. And they get, I don't care about all that. If you're going to give him that contract and say, you are going to be our guy, there's going to make a massive difference. I'm not going to call him a savior, but a massive difference in stopping the run. He damn sure better stop the run. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. 0980. Has Washington closed the gap between themselves and Philadelphia. Joe is in Springfield. Joe, what's going on?
Hey, Ben, how you doing?
I'm doing well, man.
So, you know, on paper, I would say yes. However, I'm still concerned about our defensive line. You know, are they going to be able to stop Saquon Barkley, who always seems to be ripping off these long runs? And like you said, I mean, that stat that you just gave is alarming. 7 touchdowns in 3 games against us. I mean, but at the same time, I mean, if you take, I mean, the second game we played them that we won, the fact that we had, it's still mind-boggling. We had 5 turnovers on offense and still put up 36 points on that Eagle defense. And then in the NFC Championship game, with the turnovers killed us, would that have made a difference if the turnovers didn't happen? Probably not, because Saquon was basically having another field day against us. But this year, we are improved, especially on the quarterback situation. The defensive line, Dan, I got to be honest with you. I love Daron Payne, but for me, he's on the hot seat this year. Either he doesn't do it here, or he's going to have to find other place to go. I mean, and I feel bad because I know Daron is, you know, he's always been a team player kind of guy, but ever since he got that contract extension, you don't hear from him making anything big anymore. So, to me, Daron's on the hot seat. That defensive line is still suspect. But right now, I mean, offense I'm not concerned about. And the thing is, with that running game, I mean, that's the, what's the crazy thing about it is that 12-5 last year, NFC Championship appearance, that was awesome. But you had no running game, and the defense was terrible. And we still went to the NFC Championship game. You can't rely it all on Jaden Daniels. So, it has to have a running, good running game and a good defense. So, I know you got more calls than you did, so take care.
I appreciate it, Joe. They did have a run game, but I get what you're saying, Joe. Jaden was the run game, and you need to have running backs be the run game. So I actually shortchanged the team, Max. I said that they were allowing 120 yards. That was a number that I pulled because I was like, well, surely it's not going to be massively higher than that.
Well,
it's not massively higher than that, but it is higher. They were allowing 137.5 rushing yards per game. That cannot happen in 2025. And you expect this team to be successful. Now, like, duh, I'm not reinventing the wheel here. Like, a round of applause for me. Stop the run. I know. You're like, really just big brain thinking over here by me. But you have to get that number down to as close to 100 yards per game as possible. Because if you're constantly allowing other teams to dictate the line of scrimmage, you are going to be lost. Jaden Daniels can play Superman. I would really prefer to not make him do it. He can. I've seen him do it. He did it at times last year. He did it a ton at LSU when he won the Heisman Trophy, but it is important to note, when he won the Heisman Trophy at LSU, they did not make the college football playoff. It was a 4-team playoff, not a 12-team playoff. I think they would have gotten in if it was a 12-team playoff. I think they were ranked like 11th to close the season. Whatever. But he didn't make it in the playoff because they kept losing football games with a bad defense. The objective should not be to make him feel at home here in D.C. by saying, hey, that thing that you had in LSU where you had to do everything and the defense sucked, welcome to D.C. It's going to be the same thing. Cannot happen. The run defense has to be better. You have to take advantage of opportunities on that side. And like, you're playing better quarterbacks this year, Washington is, which is to an extent exciting. Like, anytime you get a matchup with Patrick Mahomes, as a football fan, you should be excited. You know, Jordan Love is a matchup that I'm excited about because there have been some people nationally that say Jordan Love is the best quarterback in the NFC. I know that's not true because our guy is the best quarterback in the NFC. But you get the opportunity to prove it. Short week. I don't love that it's a Thursday night. I don't think that Thursday night football games should exist in the first 3 weeks of the season. But Roger Goodell did not ask me. You're playing Justin Herbert. You want to talk about a team that's going to run the football. The Chargers and Jim Harbaugh are going to run the football. When I look up and down this schedule, there are not a lot of teams that really strike fear in me. You know, Philadelphia, I know, is going to be tough. I don't know that they strike fear in me. You know, Kansas City with Mahomes is going to be more fun, I think, than it is tough. Detroit, if they're healthy, really it's Aiden Hutchinson that frightens me on that Detroit team. I don't really care about Jared Goff. I don't think he's all that spectacular. I don't care about the rest of the guys on that roster. It's really just Aiden Hutchinson because that guy's a freak. That dude, he's my defensive player of the year. I think he might have 20 sacks this year. And I prefer none of those 20 to come against Jaden. There's not a lot of teams that like really, really scare you, but you have to stop the run. You cannot make it easier for teams like a Los Angeles. Go make, if Justin Herbert is going to beat you, go make Justin Herbert beat you. I've seen in one-on-one matchups, Jaden Daniels gets the better of Justin Herbert. I've seen that happen in college. That's how some of us who follow college football really started to learn about Jaden Daniels. I'll take Jaden in that matchup if it's quarterback versus quarterback, but you got to stop the run because that's a team that's going to run the football. Dallas is going to be a team that's going to try and run the football. I know they got CD and they got George Pickens. I don't know that they just want to have Dak throw it 60 times. That has not been effective for them over the course of his career there. They're much better when they are a balanced offense. You cannot let offenses come in here and be balanced. And then, of course, there is the Philadelphia effect. If Saquon is healthy towards the end of the season, you can't allow him to have an absolute field day on your defense for the fourth consecutive game in a row. Fifth consecutive game in a row. I'm not even counting the stuff that happened in New York. I can guarantee you he played really well against his defense when he was in New York. You got to be able to stop the run if you want to get to the place where you are playing on the final Sunday of the NFL season. Max, I haven't asked you, do you feel like that the gap has been shortened between Washington and Philadelphia based off of the moves this offseason?
It's a pretty wide gap. I mean, we saw how wide of the gap it was in that NFC Championship game. The moves that they've made to stop Saquon, or try and stop Saquon Barkley, because Lord knows all you can do is try. I really like what they've done. I do think that they're better on paper. I mean, last year our starting corners were Emmanuel Forbes and Benjamin St. Juice to start the year. Now it is Trey Amos and Marshawn Lattimore. I think that is a massive upgrade.
A lot better.
Yeah. And then you throw Mikey Sanders still into the mix. I mean, he's been one hell of a player, had one hell of an offseason. I think he's going to have a transformative season this year, really put his name on the map. But yeah, I do think that they're better on paper in certain areas, but that run stopping, like, I just got to see these big bodies do what they're supposed to do. So I think they're better on paper, but I mean, we got to see it on the field, especially because these two games against the Eagles are like the last 3 weeks of the season, and that's what it's all going to come down to with, you know, four or five regular or in division matchups to close out the regular season. So, I mean, it's backloaded like crazy for this team.
Yeah, Saquon's been really healthy the last couple of years. You know, 16 games last year, 14 the year before with New York, 16 in 2022. He has been really, really healthy, which at times is rare for a running back.
We're due for regression.
But, like, look at the numbers he put up just against Washington. That 7 touchdowns was not a lie. 7 touchdowns in 3 games. In fact, his worst game was the NFC Championship, in which he had 15 carries for 118 yards and 3 touchdowns. That game where Washington lost on Thursday, 146 yards and 2 touchdowns. The game where Washington won, 150 yards and 2 touchdowns. That cannot happen. If that happens, things are not going to be going well for this defense. All right, coming up next, Dan Quinn's going to speak at noon, but the Terry contract numbers are out. How much money can Terry McLaurin actually make in 2025? I break it down for you. It's a Kevin Sheehan Show with Dent Nason in for Kevin on the Team 980.